Acts chapter 10, we'll begin reading verse number 1. The Bible says, "And the Lord said unto Moses, Go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, and that thou mayest tell in mine ears of thy son and of thy son's son, what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know that I am the Lord. And Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, Thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me." Now I want to preach a message tonight entitled, How Long? Just simply, how long? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for this day of life, that God, that you have allowed us to live. Lord, you've been good to us today, and God, you've been good to us, Father, Lord, for many, many years, Lord, and we just want to give you praise, honor, and glory for that. And I pray, dear Lord, now, God, that your hands of God would be upon the service tonight. I pray, Father, the Holy Spirit of God would just have liberty tonight. I pray, dear Lord, that we'd be able, Father, to be able to, God, tonight, be able to feel your presence tonight, Lord. I pray, God, if there may be one here tonight, Lord, and maybe Father is lost, Lord, maybe having problems, dear Lord, humbling themselves or whatever, dear God, that it is, dear Lord, tonight that they're having trouble with. We pray, God, tonight this would be the night, Father, that they come back to thee. Lord, bless us tonight, we do pray. Once again, Lord, I pray you touch these lips, Father, of your servant tonight. Lord, I pray that I'd be able to preach, Father, with power, God, and demonstration of the Holy Spirit tonight. God bless us, we do pray. We thank you, Father, for all things. Cast any opposing spirit, dear God, it might be in our midst aside. And we promise to give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I want to say this evening that we want to center our attention tonight on pride. And I want to say, I'm not talking about the pride of the emotion, but I'm talking about tonight the pride of the sin of rebellion. It brought about the fall of Satan and in turn the fall of mankind. Pride will do more to damage you tonight than any other thing that you can possibly think of. Pride tonight has sent more people to hell than anything that I can possibly think of. Pride tonight has sent more people to hell than the liquor my liver thought about. Pride has sent more people to hell than drugs ever thought about. Pride tonight has sent more people to hell than anything that I can possibly think about tonight. And that is pride. There are many examples of the destructive and the destructiveness of pride found in the Scriptures, but none that sucks so quite so vivid as found over there in the book of Exodus that we just read. And Pharaoh said, "Who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let Israel go? I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go." He says over there in Exodus chapter 5 in verse number 2, "I don't know about you brethren tonight, but you know what that is? That's true old pride." He says, "I know not the Lord, and neither am I going to let the children of Israel go." I tell those people out there tonight, they're saying that. They're saying, "I know not the Lord, so why should I have to turn my life around? Why should I have to give up my sin because I don't know God? Why should I have to turn everything loose because I don't know this God that you're preaching about?" Well, I want to tell you, first of all, friend, this God that I'm preaching about tonight, he's a holy God, he's a righteous God, and he's a sinless God tonight. And listen, when God gets down to business with you, you'll never forget it, my friend. God is a God to be reckoned with. And I thank God that I'm on the right side tonight of God. I'm glad tonight that I'm not on the wrong side. I'm not on the wrong foot. I'm not on the wrong hand. But I'm on the right hand of God. Thank God tonight for his mercy and his grace. And thank God tonight that several years ago, and I abandoned all my pride, and I came down and humbled myself before my Almighty God and gave him my heart and life. What can pride do? Pharaoh refused to submit to God and obey him. As a result, God began to warn him and to plead with him. He began to send plagues upon Egypt. In chapter 7, we see the plague of blood. In chapter 8, we see the plagues of frogs, and we see the plagues of lice. We see the plagues of flies. And in chapter 9, we see the plagues of diseases and of boils. I'm telling you, God is nobody to mess with, friend. I tell you, when God starts speaking to your heart, you better listen up. When God starts speaking to you, you better listen to what He's got to say, because the Bible says that God is a man of war, and there's no way that we can defeat Him. I thank God tonight, and I'm on the right side of the living God tonight. Listen, there was hell there, and in chapter 10 we find something quite unusual. In verse number 3, God asked Pharaoh a very searching question that I'm sure that He's asked many and many mankind. Out there tonight, maybe He's asking you the same thing. He asked me, He said, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? I'm glad that I humbled myself before Him many years ago, before that He had to bring me down and humble me Himself. God has to humble you, friend. You'll never forget it. It may be something I guarantee you'll never get over to. God humbles you. Boy, I tell you, God for many, many years may be asking you the question, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Boy, I just can't understand this modern day crowd out there today. I can't understand them. Boy, I tell you, today we need to have some humbleness in the church. Amen. We need to have some humbleness all about us today, friend. I tell you, the Bible says that pride cometh before a fall. Amen. You'll never ever in your whole life, and you might live to be 120 years old. I hope that you do, but I'm going to tell you this right here. You'll never get over the blessings of God in your life. You say, how in the world am I going to get blessed? I want to be blessed of God. I tell you how to get blessed, friend. You need to humble yourself, amen. Humble yourself before an almighty God. Why is it that people won't humble themselves before God? Boy, I tell you, I've seen folks come into the church not ready to worship, ready for a show. I believe we need to come in ready to worship. I believe we need to come in, and when it comes time to come to the altar, if God speaks to our heart, I believe we need to be here. I've said it over and over and over again. I believe if you want to get blessings out of God, you need to humble yourself at the altar. This altar up here is not a place of show. This altar up here is not a place of doom. This altar up here is a place of humbleness. This is where we can come and humble ourselves before God. You say, I'm embarrassed to go up there. I don't want to go up there in front of everybody. I'm ashamed to go up there in front of everybody. Listen, regardless of what anybody thinks, you need to come to the altar and humble yourself just like you did last weekend. Son, I'm so glad to see you come and humble yourself before God. The boys like you would come and humble themselves before an almighty God. You listen to what this old-fashioned spitting preacher tells you. You keep yourself humble unto God, and I promise you that there'll be great things that'll happen to your life that nobody ever knows that can happen to you. It'll just boggle your mind. You say, how does that happen? It happens when we humble ourselves before God Almighty. I'm telling you, humble yourself. And God will bless you, friend. Amen. Humble yourself. This evening I want us to think about that question as we look at it. Somebody said, oh, I tell you, I just don't want to humble myself. Bless God, I'm not going to do nothing. I'm not going to move. I've seen folks that you couldn't take a team of wild horses and pull them up from the pew. But one little sickness will do it. I've seen one little sickness come into a person's life, and boy, let me tell you something. The altar don't seem so far away then. The altar don't seem like it's 10 to 15 miles away. It just seems like it's right there. Boy, I tell you, something come up in your life, whether it's a sickness or whether it's something that rises in a family member's life, boy, I tell you, they can't wait to get to church. Boy, they can't wait to get up there to church, hear that preacher start preaching. Boy, they can't wait for that altar call is given. They can come up down to that altar and get down on their knees. Lift their hands up and praise God. Listen, folks, you need to lift your hands up and praise God. Why, you can still get them up on your own. You still need to come down to the altar. Why, you can still walk down the altar. You need to still come and humble yourself. Why, if you can still bend your knees on your own. Don't wait for destruction to hit your life. Don't wait for sickness to come and visit you. Don't wait for death to knock on your door. Don't wait for something to happen to your little children, or to your wife, or to your husband, or to some loved one in your life. Oh, come and humble yourself before God. And like the Lord told Pharaoh, he said, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me, Pharaoh? How long will it be, friend? And pride is foolish. Oh, we can see the pride of man. Number one, we can see the pride of man. Pride is a foolish thing. It shows an awful ignorance of God. People out there are just ignorant of God's power and His mercy and His grace. Boy, I tell you, I think about that, and sometimes it just amazes me how some people can brag on all the explosives and all the power that the United States has with all its military might and all that stuff. And boy, I tell you, I've ever yet to see them create a weapon that could cause such destruction as a tsunami can cause. I've yet to see them make a weapon that can cause destruction. You say, well, a nuclear bomb can do that. Yeah, but a nuclear bomb has to be done. It has to be done that way by man. When God can take nothing and cause a tsunami or cause an earthquake or can cause a hurricane to get on the land, I tell you, that's mercy. And I tell you, that's power. I tell you, just listen. I love a good thunderstorm. Why is that? Because that's the power of my God. Amen. He can shake the heavens just a twist of His hand. I tell you, that's power. People today is ignorant of God's power. I tell you, pride caused you to be ignorant of God's power. Psalm chapter 14, verse number 1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. Boy, I want you to notice that old David did not say, the fool declared with his mouth, there is no God. Although that would be extremely foolish. That is not what he said. He said that in his heart. The fool declares there is no God. There are many people who would never think of openly denying the existence of God. But they live their lives as if God does not exist. They live their lives just like there's no God out there. Just like there's no God to contend with when we die and leave this world. Because it's only going to be you and God. We're now standing in front of Him. And God is going to have you weighed in the balances there. And God's going to hear us say, I am in the joys of the Lord forevermore. Thank God I'm going to be on that side. Or He's either going to say, depart from me, you cursed, and run everlasting fire. That burneth forever and ever. But the fire is not quenched. And the worm dieth not. I'm glad tonight that I'm living on the right side of the Father tonight. There are many people today who live openly denying the existence of God. They live their life as if He doesn't exist. Pride in an individual's heart will exalt self to dangerous proportions, and he will deliberately resist God's will. There may be someone here tonight so full of pride that you make God sick in His sight. But I'm going to tell you something, friend. You don't need to worry about it too much longer. Because if you're that proud and you say, I'm not going to do nothing, I'm not going to move, I'm not going to go here, I'm not going to do this, you just hang on just a little bit longer. You just hang on just a little while longer. God's not somebody to mess around with. God is a holy God. God's still a righteous God, just like He was thousands of years ago. And He's still holy. And He's still righteous. There's three things that you don't want to mess with in this life that you're living in. There's three things you don't want to mess with. Number one, you don't want to mess with God's Word. Foolish people out there today are messing with God's Word. That's the most foolish thing you ever done in your life. Psalm chapter 12, verse 6 and 7 says, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in the furnace of earth. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord. He says, purified seven times. Thou shalt keep them, O Lord, from this generation forever. He says in Psalms 138 and verse 2, I will worship toward thy holy temple and praise thy name for thy loving kindness, for thou hast magnified thy word above all thy name. You don't want to mess with God's word. The next thing you don't want to mess with, you don't want to mess with God's man. If you want to talk about somebody, you better go down the road and talk about your best friend or talk about your mama, but don't talk about God's man. Most dangerous thing you ever done besides discriminating and talking about God's word is running down a man of God that's preaching the book. I've seen God put men and women in the ground for that. Somebody said, boy, I don't know that kind of preaching. I never heard that kind of preaching before. Well, you've heard it now. And the next thing you don't want to mess with is you don't want to mess with God's church. You say, how do you mess with God's church? You just disregard God's church. You play with God's church. You undermine the man of God, you undermine God's church. Coming in and going out as you will and sinning as you will, just like it ain't nothing. Bringing reproach to Jesus Christ. Bringing reproach to God's church. Let me say, Jesus Christ died for the church. Let me say, He became sin, and it was my sin, it was your sin that hung Him on that cross, and He done it for the church. People today disregard God's church. You can't mess around with God's church. You can't just come and go as you please and act like everything's all right. Listen, hey, I'm saying get in there and get in there to serve God and live right for God and let God bless you and try to be a blessing to those that are around you in God's church. And God will look over a whole lot of things in your life. Pride. For I say through the grace given unto me that every man that is among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. People out there today think a lot of themselves. We got people out there today that think more of themselves than they do God. They think more of themselves than they do God's word. The Bible says, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith. Romans 12, verse 3. Pride is deceptive. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, what's God say? He says he deceiveth himself. Galatians 6:3. Every person in here will die someday. The Lord don't come back, take us home in the rapture. Every one of us is going to go out the same way we come in. Pride will make you think that you're more than you really are. Nebuchadnezzar is a good example of that over there in Daniel chapter 4 and verse 30 and through chapter 5 and verse 20. Oh, Nebuchadnezzar thought that he had the world by the tail that one time. He thought that everybody owed him something. And then we have the example of Uzziah over there in 2 Chronicles chapter 26 and verse number 16 verse number 19. We see that old Uzziah, he thought that everybody owed him something and he was the one to look upon. He even had old Isaiah fooled at one time. Pride made Pharaoh think that he was in control of Egypt and all the people therein. God's the one in control of everything. Pride is destructive. Pride is deceitful, but it's also destructive. It is a destructive because it is sin. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 21, verse 4, a high look, and a proud heart, and the plowing of the wicked is sin. Sin will destroy wherever it is found. Whatever sin touches, it will destroy. We are all aware of the destructive power of drugs. We are all aware of the destructive power of liquor. We are all aware of the destructive power of immorality. But we must not forget that all sin is destructive in nature. Sin knows no boundaries. It will destroy the life of a Christian just as readily as the life of an unbeliever. Sin will kill you. Sin has no mercy on anybody. Sin takes from the lowest of the little to the highest of the big. Sin is a killer of all mankind. Sin is what killed my Savior, oh Lord Jesus Christ. Sin will get into your home if you let it get into your home. And it will get a hold of the mind of your little children. And it will cause them to think that the church is nothing more than a mafia. And just more than just fables. And just more than just guru and all this stuff. If we just let sin get in our homes and get in our life, it will destroy your children. It will destroy your life as well. Sin will do that. The Bible says in Proverbs 16, verse 18, pride goeth before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. Number two, we see the question of God. Number one, we can see the pride of man, but number two, we see the question of God. He says, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Now I want to ask you a question tonight. I want to ask you, how long will it be before you humble yourself before God? It reveals the grace of God when God asks you that question. God could have struck swiftly in judgment upon Pharaoh, and He could have done it upon the Egyptians. God didn't have to ask anybody for anything. God didn't have to ask Moses, Moses, when do you want me to go in there and take over? Moses, when do you want me to do this? Or Moses, when do you want... God didn't have to ask you. God don't have to ask me anything. He don't have to ask you anything. When God gets ready to move, He's going to move. I think about those tsunamis over there that happened in December the 26th of 2005. I think about that. You know what? Not one time did I get a phone call from God asking me if it's all right if He done it. Not one time did God call my house and ask me, is it okay if I slam the United States' East Coast with 26 hurricanes this year? God don't have to ask me nothing, and He sure don't have to ask you nothing either. But aren't you glad that He's merciful? How long will it be? How long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? God could have struck swiftly. God desired that Pharaoh might know whom. He desired it. Verse number 2, the Bible says, and that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and of thy son's sons what things I have wrought in Egypt and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know that I am the Lord. God desired that Pharaoh might know Him. God withholds His judgment upon the unbelieving man for one purpose, that they might know Him. You know the reason that you're here tonight is that you might know Him. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, chapter 3, verse 9 says, the Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but as long-suffering to us, we're not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Aren't you glad tonight that He is merciful? It reveals the grief of God. God asks how long. When people refuse to humble themselves before God, it grieves Him greatly. It is His desire that all would come to Him, not willing that any should perish. Genesis chapter 6, over there through 6 and 7, when God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, the Bible says that it grieved Him at His heart. I don't think God gets any pleasure out of seeing the wickedness of mankind today. Boy, you think about, boy, you say, boy, we've come a long way. We've come a long way with technology and stuff. Put a man on the moon. Now we're flying airplanes off of ships. We've come a long way in our technology. The Bible says that knowledge shall increase. Men shall wax worse and worse for the coming of the Lord. If there is joy in heaven, think about the grief and the sorrow must be when the invitation is given and that lost person sits there and will not come. Or that Christian sits there and will not come. God asks how long. It reveals the impatience of God. He asked how long. God had dealt with Pharaoh for some time. He had sent Moses and He had sent Aaron. He had sent seven plagues and as signs to reveal Himself to him. And yet with all of this, Pharaoh refused to submit himself to God. There is coming a day when God will shut the door of opportunity and open the door of judgment upon your life. Did you understand? Did you hear what I said? There is coming a day when not only with you, with all those around you, your friends, your family, everybody that you know, when the door of opportunity will shut and the door of judgment will open. He taught us this truth by using Noah's Ark, which was a type of Christ. He taught us this truth by a parable of the 10 virgins and the 5 wise, and there was 5 foolish. The harvest is past, He says in Jeremiah chapter 8 and verse 20. The summer is ended, and we are not saved. God is grieved when we refuse to accept His grace and to be saved. And one day He will shut the door and there will be no hope for those who have not accepted Him. Pharaoh offered to allow the men to go and worship, but not their families. He allowed the men to go and worship, but not their families. Isn't that just like some folks in the church today? Some men today, they'll send their wives out to church and their children, but they won't come out. Modern day Pharaohism. Where's all the men at today? Where's the leaders at today at the home? He had previously given His word until the plagues had been lifted. Then He would still refuse to honor His word. People today make promises. God, if you'll heal me up of this sickness, I promise to serve you. Every time the doors are open, I promise to be there. Modern day Pharaohism. Pharaoh said, Lord, take these plagues away from me. Take all these flies, all these frogs, everything away from me. I promise I'll let them go if you do. Just as soon as God pulled the flags back, Pharaoh stepped up with his pride. He said, I'm not going to do nothing. Reminds me of many who have spoken, but who find themselves in trouble. They find themselves in trouble. They promise God all sorts of things, but they never do any of it. God, if you will get me out of this, I will. God has asked a straight question which demands a straight answer to you tonight. Like so many today, Pharaoh tried to avoid the question. To make excuses is not the answer. I want you to notice with me that Jesus used this parable over there in Luke chapter 14, and verses 16 to 24. Three excuses are dealt with here. The importance of possessions, the importance of work, and the importance of family. Those are three things that people's going to tell you when you try to get them in church, you try to get them safe, try to get them to live right. First of all, they're going to use their work. Second of all, they're going to use their possessions. And then thirdly, they're going to use their family. Listen to people today. You'll hear these excuses over and over again. Procrastination is not the answer. Just putting it off. I'm just going to put it off a little longer. I'm just making it to the next service, then I might get saved. I'm making it to the next service, and I might humble myself. Felix told Paul, he said, go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee. Acts 24, verse 25. God says, how long? Some says, not now. Some say, someday. But I'm going to say, God says, now. Some will say, not now. But God says, today is the day of salvation.